We all feel good when we win something. We like being winners. I like winning. I like it a lot. And because I just like it when I win, and I like it when my family and friends win. And it's like I'm living vicariously through my family and friends and church friends. So when they win, I feel really good about that. And I feel good for them. And then I feel good for myself because I'm associated with them because they're winners. And their joy rubs off on me when I associate with the winners. And I don't think I'm all alone when I'm unhappy with myself if I lose. I'm happy with myself when I fall short of my own expectations. And when I fall short of my own expectations or the expectations of others. Well, the title of this message is The Value of Failure. The Value of Failure, and really what I want to focus on is how we can use the experience of failure to become better Christians. Sometimes when we lose or fall short of expectations, we face trials because of the consequences. Perhaps it's a job that we applied for and didn't get, and then we really needed that job to stay afloat financially. Perhaps we feel snubbed by some social situation. Maybe somebody said something that we're uncomfortable with. Or perhaps we didn't get invited to an event, or maybe didn't find out about it until later. So allow me to modify an old saying. The higher our expectations, then the greater our disappointment when those expectations are not met. Now we face a set of challenges that we hadn't planned on. Over 40 years ago, I found a great house to rent. It was a small house, but it was perfect for me and my family. But it was a financially tight time for us at the time. But I always managed to pay the rent on time. But near the beginning of that term of renting, I was a few dollars short in my checking account. And I wasn't paying close enough attention. And the rent check bounced. I was only a few dollars short, and I was able to make it immediately to make it right. However, the fine print in the rental agreement said that if a tenant ever bounced a check, then the tenant had to pay cash from that day on. Well, for the next 5 years, I had to take the extra steps every month to go to the bank, collect the cash, and arrange a time to pay the rent in cash directly to the manager. After 5 years, I saved up enough, managed to purchase my own home, and was preparing to move out of that house in the rental house complex. And I asked the rental manager if anyone had lived in that complex of 90 rental homes longer than I had. He replied, I was the second longest renter that the company had ever had. And even though I was extremely timely and faithful with my rent payment, the company held fast to its rule of the policy of requiring prepaid cash if a rent check had ever bounced. This was a burden that I brought upon myself. Every month, for 5 years, it was a monthly reminder of the long-term consequences of not taking care of essential business. I wasn't angry with the landlord. I was disappointed in myself. I had caused my own burden, my own trial. Let's turn to James 1. James, the chapter 1, starting in verse 2. In James 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Well, we don't always count it joy when we fall into various trials. I could have grumbled and complained every month, month after month, year after year, because that unthinking, unkind landlord was unforgiving. And didn't he see that I was so good and so faithful and paid so timely? But over the years, I gradually improved my financial situation. I was stable in my job, and I had faithfully and timely paid the monthly rent and in cash for years. And just that one early indiscretion of not paying attention to my checking account balance cost me 60 months of extra time and hassle. For me, the lesson of paying the monthly rent in cash worked to my advantage in the long run. For over the next 5 years, I was able to demonstrate stability in housing and employment, timeliness in much of what I did. I was better able to manage my finances. I was able to save money for a down payment for a house. And so in 5 years later, I was ready to purchase a house that my credit profile allowed me to qualify for the financing. And yes, what I learned was patience. If we do the right thing long enough, then patience will be rewarded. And sometimes, though, a trial comes through no fault of our own. And those trials seem like they will last forever. I remember how slowly time went when I was in the sixth grade. There was a large clock in the classroom wall, on the classroom wall. The clock's mechanism didn't operate very smoothly, and every 60 seconds, the minute hand on the clock would lurch forward by 1 minute. And then the clock's jerking motion would make a slight clicking sound. I would finish from time to time my assignment early, and then I would watch the clock, and it would stay in the same place for a very long time. And then when the minute was up, click, it would jump ahead a minute. Once in a while, it would catch, and it wouldn't click the first minute, and I would have to wait 2 minutes to watch it click for 2 minutes. It's been a while since I've been in sixth grade, but the memory was burned into my mind. Well, as teachers can tell you, when students don't have something to do, the students tend to get into trouble, and they're tempted to do something that they shouldn't do. And a flock of students with time on their hands is inviting trouble. Is it any different for adults? Let's turn now, also in James 1, we're right there, turn to verses 12 through 15. In James 1, verses 12 through 15. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So people succumb to their own temptations. They set themselves up from time to time for failure, or perhaps a lack of closeness to God. They are prey to the temptations or traps led by Satan. And we read that in James 4 and verse 7. And we've gone over that, I'm sure, from time to time in the past. James 4, 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Many years ago, my dad advised me that everyone makes mistakes. But he pointedly said that in my case, it would be helpful if I would learn to make different mistakes from time to time. He wanted me to learn from my mistakes. If we don't learn the lesson from a particular trial, we're setting ourselves up to keep getting that trial over and over again. Now, for about 25 years, I've assisted people who are going through the big D, through divorce. And as a private social worker, I've helped men and women inside the church and outside the church, and I've helped them put together family court cases and secure legal counsel. I've guided them through the landmines of divorce, paternity, child custody, child visitation, the division of assets and liabilities. And through this process, I've helped them to set new goals so that they can regain a sense of stability and dignity and become productive members of society. Yet some people are recidivists. They go right back and make the same mistake again and again. One of my cousins married and divorced a series of practicing alcoholics because she failed to learn from her mistakes. And each time I would get the call, "Can you help me out?" I was chatting on the phone to a non-church fellow who had gone through some horrific experiences in the process of divorce. I'll call him Mr. Thompson. When he answered the phone, Mr. Thompson told me he was in a hurry to go somewhere. I asked him where he was going. He replied he was going to meet the next ex-Mrs. Thompson. He was internally driven to establish another marital relationship, but he acknowledged he hadn't learned anything from the first go-around, from his past relationship failure. He was fully expecting that all relationships were destined for misery and for failure. Well, as church members, that's not our calling to continually expect the worst. We're to learn from our shortcomings, no matter how long it takes. We're to develop character and patience as we seek to become more Christ-like. 10 days ago, I discovered something about myself. In preparation during the week of preparation that teachers have before the new school year, I realized, and to an extent, that I had not understood something about myself, that I have a particular learning style that other people don't commonly have. But this same learning style acts as a disability in some social circumstances. Well, for the first time in 66 years, I became aware of a blind spot, a characteristic for which I must overcompensate in order to achieve my goals. Well, we can't overcome a fault or a problem unless we acknowledge that we have that problem. The first stage in the 12-step program used by a number of recovery groups, including Alcoholics Anonymous, is to openly acknowledge the problem. Well, as Christians, we must do the same. We must identify and acknowledge the problem, and only then can we begin the process of overcoming. The late Zig Ziglar, a motivational speaker and author, described it this way. If you took a world-class archer and you showed him a target at a reasonable distance, then he could likely hit the bullseye every time. But if you take that same world-class archer and you put a blindfold on him, and then you spin him around a few times, it's unlikely that he will hit the target at all. Therefore, if it's hard to hit the target we cannot see, how can we hit a target we don't even have? Well, that first step in recovery is acknowledging the problem. So to do this, we can go to God and ask for direction. We can ask God to help us become better Christians, and that means identifying the obstacles that impede our betterment. However, we must be wise in asking what we ask for, because we might get it in full measure and from a direction we don't expect. When I pray, I ask God for insight and the gentlest correction that I might best be able to seek a path for improvement. I really emphasize the part about gentle. And sometimes the gentle correction isn't enough for some people. I remember my dad telling about going to the county fair. Well, as a teenager, I was in 4-H, and I showed dairy cattle at the county fair. And from time to time, then my dad would bring supplies for the cattle to the fairgrounds. Well, he was walking to the 4-H building one day, and there was a particularly obnoxious kid. He was probably around 13 years old. And this kid was newly in 4-H at the fairgrounds, and he was making fun of everyone, causing trouble, being quite difficult. One big kid, I'm going to guess he was about age 19, had finally had enough. And the big kid took this smaller, obnoxious boy, and he took him over to the water trough outside the horse barn. And the big kid grabbed the smaller one by the neck, and he stuck his head under the water in the water trough. And the younger kid was just thrashing about, head fully underwater. And clearly the smaller kid could not breathe with his head under the water. My dad said he watched the scenario for a minute, thinking that the big kid would let up. But the big kid didn't seem to be letting up. And after a while, my dad got a little nervous. Maybe, in fact, he really was going to drown the little one. Not that he didn't deserve it, as everyone thought. But finally, my dad got worried to the point he told the big kid, hey, you better let him up a little bit. Well, reluctantly, the big kid let the little kid up. I had pulled his head up out of the water. Little kid swung his head around and says, he can't drown me. Whoomp, right back under the water. The big kid shoved him under. He hadn't learned his lesson very well about getting along with others. He was a slow learner. His life would go on to demonstrate that he didn't understand the limits put on by other people in society. 20 years later, he was charged, this younger obnoxious kid, with killing someone in a bar fight. Ultimately, society taught a lesson that the young man was unwilling to learn many years later. Repeated failures taught him nothing. Well, the question we must ask ourselves as we face trials and temptations in life is whether or not we see ourselves as we really are. Do we have the strength to withstand the temptations that plague us and bring our trials upon ourselves? Do we face the same trials over and over again? In 1 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 12, in 1 Corinthians 10, 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And then verse 13, my real focus here. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Well, we must have great capacity to overcome temptation, to overcome failure, because we have so much of it thrown our way at life. Or we'll bring failure on and temptation on ourselves. But God assures us that we can become overcomers, that we are able to make the way of escape that God has provided for us. This verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13, has been my assurance through many trials in life. First of all, my trials are common to man. Someone else has faced the same trial before. Secondly, I'm able to survive and even thrive as a result of this trial. We are told that we can. And third, God provides a way of escape from the trial, a way to help us to bear up. Well, I like winning. I like being a winner. I like it when you're a winner. And I'm pleased when all my family and friends are winners. I really don't like the consequences of failure. I don't like failure. But I've come to recognize failure, like pain, is there for a purpose. We're to learn from failure and let that learning process require us to, let the learning process require us to seek God, to acknowledge our own shortcomings or blind spots, and recognize the way of escape that God has provided for us. The way of escape may involve hard work. The way of escape may take many years. The way of escape may have a high price. But the way of escape provided by God is better than the terrible consequences that we bring upon ourselves. So let's all learn to recognize our shortcomings, learn from our failures, and seek to become more like Christ.